Hi, and welcome to Consider This. I'm Sharad Kutan here in Johor. Johor goes to the polls on the 12th of this month. And it's an intense campaign out there. We're looking to speak to as many people as we can. And today we're very lucky to get the caretaker Menteri Besar, Yang Amat Berhormat Dato' Sri Hasni Mohamad, who helmed the state until its dissolution. Thank you so much, Dato' Sri, for joining us. Can I begin with the question of stability? It's key to the message that Barisan Nasional wants to give. And you, as somebody who helmed government, understands the meaning of it. So I want to ask you, how do you create stability? And is stability created by having a supermajority, as some people, Khalid Nordin, the former Menteri Besar, has suggested? Or is it in a consensus in the assembly about what the state needs?
Thank you, Sharad. Welcome to Johor. I'm sure you have spent quite a substantial amount of time witnessing what's happening on the ground, and probably you have spoken to a number of candidates and a party president. Well, I hope you have managed to cover as much as you can, because I feel that is necessary. Johor is a very important state. We know for a fact that the pandemic COVID-19 apparently has interrupted a lot of the usual event or the usual thing that is happening here in Johor. With regards to the idea of having a stable government, that is definitely the key and the main objective of having this state election, simply because Johor used to be a very successful state in terms of the FDI, in terms of programs that we undertake, the strong relationship we had with the federal government, and right up to the challenges when we were facing the movement control orders, and therefore to seek a fresh mandate is all for the purpose of wanting to have or wanting to make Johor continue to be a better state, and therefore the situation that we are in the past has, I would say, disrupted a lot of planning and idea of pushing Johor to be back on track.
I do want to ask you though this. So the question is, the purpose of stability, it's quite clear, right?
Yes.
The connection between stability and good governance, perhaps a little less clear, because in the past, and if we look at the history of Barisan Nasional, two-thirds majorities, and so on, didn't necessarily deliver good governance, because mm-hmm. good governance comes often with abuse of power and so on and so forth, right? Well, at least that's the criticism. So when you look at Johor and look back at 3 years of instability, I think following the last general election, 2018, yes. What's your personal sense of how Malaysia can go forward? Because I know that's in your pledges as well. You want political reform, you want political maturity for the state. Mm-hmm. How do we achieve that?
Okay, like I said earlier, the stability of the government is very crucial. And why I arrived at that conclusion is when I observed that we need 29 to make up government with a simple majority. So when we lost one seat, becomes vacant, that makes it 28-27. And I wish that the public is aware that at the State Assembly, our speakers is not from the government. So that makes the number of opposition and as well as the government representative 28 equal. And therefore, what sort of government do we think that in that situation? What can the government do? with such a uncertainty that we are facing.
Was the opposition, though, hostile, or were they cooperating with you?
They are cooperating in view of the fact that I will have to continue complying to their requirement. Say, for instance, we have got a few sitting right after I took over the leadership. There were not much of voting that took place in the House. But at one point in time, you need to test really the kind of support that you are receiving. So when we do not agree to certain, understanding, we fail to achieve an understanding. Therefore, they will put it to vote. And like I said, with such a very balanced or hung situation, I can't be relying all the time at the mercies of the speaker whenever the vote is balanced, you see.
I understand that. And, you know, but so what observers have been saying, though, Malaysia is moving into a very interesting period in its political history.
Yes.
Right? The MOU signed at the federal level suggested we're moving towards models that we see in other advanced democracies of confidence supply bills and so on, where you can achieve quite a bit despite being a minority government or in a very, like you say, a kind of hung parliament, as it were. But is that a comfortable position for somebody in a position of leadership? Do you want, as you say, to be at the mercy of fellow assemblymen across the aisle? What do you imagine is likely to happen in this election? Do you think UMNO and Barisan Nasional will romp home with a very strong mandate as they did in Melaka?
Sharad, I will be one foot that will promote strong democracy within the state. I have shown my interest by providing an equal allocation to all the assemblymen. And I have been able to put a bill that actually reflect a balanced opportunity for everyone, not just focusing on those who are with the government or with us. That has been reflected in many, be it in our state budget, be it in the discussion that we had within the assembly. And I strongly believe that that can be done. But then again, as a government, Sharad, we need to ensure that policies are being crafted in such a way that it is always something that will be able to bring Johor back to its like, for instance, there's a debate between the need to have all agreed that the border should be open. We need to have, the opposition suggested that we should have a walker later from point A to point B. But we feel that there should be a better program, there should be a better approach in order to encourage more convenient for people to travel from Johor, commuting back to Singapore, back and forth. And RTS, for instance, should be something that has to be put in place, that something that has to be implemented as soon as possible. But then again, they keep on stressing the idea that we should put the walker later as a way to overcome the jam or the congestion at the causeway. Not so bad at the second link, but at the causeway. So this is one classic example. If we were to spend so much time on debating whether we should have a walker later or we should have an RTS, the good relationship between state government and the federal government, we have already come to an agreement that we should have an RTS. But then we know for a fact that when project is to be implemented, then it will have to have a strong understanding, especially when it comes to bilateral relations between Johor, between Malaysia and Singapore. We do not want anything to be a hindrance, you know, in order to see the smooth implementation of projects that is to be undertaken. So this is one example. We took so much time in deliberating matters like this. When it is a straightforward investment of more than $4 billion initially, to have that infrastructure put in place. I'm so happy that eventually we are going to proceed with RTS. The idea of having HSR, for instance, being disrupted. What can I say? In the assembly, within my own party, because the Prime Minister then was also their party president, decide to cancel off HSR. When I know for a fact that HSR brings a lot of economic benefit for Johor, one in their wise mind would never want to disrupt HSR for whatever reason. So these are some of the things that eventually I came to a conclusion that this is not the kind of government that Johor deserves. This is the kind of government that brings us backwards instead. So that is one of the reasons why the stability within the House, the stability within the administration has all got to be put in place. What can be done? How can we achieve that other than getting a fresh mandate from the people?
Well, wonderfully put, yes, democracies sometimes produce gridlock. And I guess that's what you're trying to avoid. Okay, we'll take a short break now, and we'll be back with more. I'm speaking to Dato' Sri Azli Mohd, caretaker Menteri Besar of Johor. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Sharad Kutin, and I'm with Yang Amat Berhormat Dato' Sri Hasni Mohamad, caretaker Menteri Besar of Johor. We just, you know, you made a powerful argument for the kind of stability you're looking at that allows for governance and some clear direction, at least in terms of development. And that's something that I'm particularly interested in, the kind of development options for Johor. But since we are in campaign period, I do want to ask you very quickly if you can give us a sense of what you think the sentiment on the ground is. I know there's some intense competition, especially between UMNO and Bersatu in Felda areas and so on and so forth. What's your take? You've been going around the state. What's your sense?
Sharad, sentiment has been encouraging so far. Things were very much different from the PRU14. And what we need to do now is to increase our vote base, and we have to make sure that our campaign initiative based on the Barisan Nasional Ikhtiar will be clearly understood by all the voters and the public at large, and that has been going on. I'm very happy that to note that the five initiative that we pledged to the voters has been well received, especially when we talk about the importance of having to immediately implement those initiative that has been clearly reflected in the document. And we do not want to wait, Sharad. Uh-huh. The strength of this initiative is that I'm telling the voters that the Barisan National Government will not waste even a day if we were given the mandate. We will be able to implement immediately. We will be able to execute the entire initiative that has been pledged to the voters.
Right. Okay. I do want to ask you this, that, you know, your former allies, coalition partners, Bersatu in particular, there has been unhappiness we noticed over the last couple of years. And this goes to the pledge of, you know, governance with integrity, right? Pertabiran berintegriti. And because of questions over GLCs and who would lead GLCs, and GLCs are seen somehow as a reward for politicians.
Okay.
Is that a culture you can move away from? Is it possible that GLCs will be run professionally without the interference of political parties? Is that something you can deliver on?
That is something that has been established where GLCs, departments will work on a key performance indicator. Everyone it has to start with a clear policy first before we even question the strength and the ability of implementing policies. So if we can have a stable house, a strong government, to create policies, to introduce new approach in order to seek the best outcome of every policy that we have put in place, then the integrity of the government will mean we will adopt a better way of doing things. We have to engage with more program that involve digitalization of things. We have to embark on technology in order to monitor project and programs. We have to ensure that our database is strong. If we were to execute, say for instance, assistance to all families income with within 3,000 to 7,000, who are they? How many children are affected, whether in primary school or in secondary schools, whether they are in tertiary education? How do we reach out to this? So it is so important that the public will have full confidence that when certain policy has been approved, the implementation is equally important.
Okay, I get that. So there is your focus on governance. There is in sort of evidence-based policy making, and then the delivery.
Very true.
Yourself,
very right? true. Yes.
Let's move on to the question of Orang Muda, because Orang Muda is one of your five pledges. It's focused on young people. What are the core challenges for the state? Is it primarily in producing or generating jobs, or facilitating the aspirations of young people to get jobs, get well-paying jobs? And the question is, will those jobs be here in Johor, or will they be across the border in Singapore or Kuala Lumpur?
Right. You have a very full and clear understanding of Johor, Charat. we need to know that the cross-border economy is something that has a strong impact on the purchasing power, on the kind of economic activity that should took place within Johor. True enough, when the border is closed, we can see a lot of industry, be it tourism or within the food business, retail business, all are affected. And also businesses that affects the Orang Muda Johor. The youth in Johor has been very active in participating businesses, online business. They have show interest in participating when we were promoting the idea of food security, when we're talking about creating the digital hub within Iskandar Regional Development Authority. Even the two other authorities, ECR, IMTGT, the youth is everywhere. They are participating in most of the programs that the government introduced. So this is something which we will continue. This is something that the state or Barisan Nasional is not in the past having any experience. We have been engaging even with students in universities, even with those young families. We even discussed with them about housing policy. We even talked to them about the opportunity to continue with or embark onto small businesses. We have reached out to most of the young, and so happened that they are new voters, and we become more interested in offering a better future, a better hope for the youth in Johor. That has been one of the crucial, the most important element that we need to introduce. Not only those within the economic growth area, right down to Felda area as well. We have been talking to the youth. We have been offering the youth 3,200 units of housing lot, perhaps maybe 4,000 square feet each for the second generation. So that is evident that we do see the importance of the young to be part and parcel of the state planning in the future.
How limited are state resources? Speaking to some economists here, they're saying that the state budget's around $2 billion compared to the federal budget of $300 billion.
Mm-hmm.
What fiscal room does the state of Johor have to implement development policies they think are tailor-made for local conditions?
Yeah, that's exactly what has been the focus of the Barisan Nasional initiative. If we can encourage, if we can position, Johor has got its strategic position, Johor has got its uniqueness in encouraging FDI. Over the last 15 years, when IDRA was set up, $350 billion has been the size of investment that comes to IRDA, be it from Singapore, from China, from US, from all parts of the world. They came and they undertake to expand their existing business or to bring in new businesses. Well, of course, Sharad, when there are investment, there are businesses. That means also employment, high-paying jobs also is available. Johor, strategic location with Singapore, all we need to do is to have a stronger collaboration with Singapore rather than competing, rather than, touching on sensitive issues like water, like airspace, like whatever. That is the reason why we don't feel that the decision made by federal government, say, for instance, the Pedra Branca or Batu Putih issue. We know for a fact that as much as sovereignty of the state is important, but then again, in addressing issues sensitive like that, should not be at the expense of the good collaboration, good relationship that we have. We will continue that. As Johor will promote. That is the reason why I have an office in Singapore, our Johor Economic Tourism and Cultural Office. Why? I do not want to wait because Johor have wasted 22 months. I need to catch up the loss of time.
Okay, we have exactly half a minute left. What do you want voters to think about when they go to the polls on the 12th?
They know that Johor need to strengthen its potential. And as I mentioned earlier, that this initiative, Ikhtiar Barisan Nasional, is something, a document, a manifest that indicate the Johor government willingness to implement immediately upon getting the fresh mandate from the people. So be it the economic recovery, whether we are talking about a good and a credible government, whether we are talking about the young voters, up to the stage of having to do a political reset here in Johor. So the kesejahteraan rakyat definitely be something that we will keep on going. Keep on going. We know that a lot of people are still affected out there, and with this five initiative, inshallah, I am am very confident that we will be able to bring Johor back to its glory.
Okay, thank you so much, Dato' Sri. I've been speaking to Yang Amat Berhormat, Dato' Sri Hasni Mohamad, caretaker, Menteri Besar of Johor. That's all we have for Consider This this evening. I'm Sharad Kutin, only for Astro 1.